After they have gone through all verses, the congregation will repeat stanza 4 again, standing. Men and ladies group, please. Stanza 4 of hymn 56 together with the men's and ladies' group. But what to those who find are this not a or can show the love of Jesus, what it is none but his loved ones know. O thou the balsam of the garden, O thou the sweet rose of Sharon, thou art the lily of the valley, how shall I part with thee? Please be seated. This evening, we have a testimony to be given by our sister, Lo Su-Xiang, Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Koo has agreed to say a few words, after which he will bring forth the message, Jesus, the very thought of thee.
Miss Lo Su Xiang will give her testimony tonight. Our sister Su Xiang was an architect, but now she's studying at the Far Eastern Bible College. What made her to leave her profession or occupation as an architect to follow the chief architect, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and to take on a holy vocation is to train to be God's servant. So, Sister Su Xiang, where are you? Please come and tell your story.
Can you all hear me? Okay. If Jesus Christ is God, then, and he died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Is this statement a reality in your life? Tonight I'll be sharing God's calling of me into the ministry. It was God's leading every step of the way. To begin with, I came from a non-Christian home, but God was merciful to save me while I was studying architecture in UK. After I became a Christian, a sister in Christ wrote me C.T. Studd's quotation, which I mentioned at the beginning, and that set an impression upon me. After my graduation, I wanted to go to Bible college, but my father, who is not a Christian then, who wasn't a Christian then, said no. So I worked as an architect. While working as an architect, the Lord taught me that we do not need to be in a full-time ministry to serve him. We don't have to wait till our retirement to serve him. We should serve him now, wherever he puts us in. At that time, my PR required me to go into Melbourne to live there. In Melbourne, I couldn't find a church, a good church in the city, which is where I live. And then, my friend in Sydney passed me a BP church contact. So I visited there for the first time. And it was the first church I attended in Melbourne that uses King James Version. And that was Ebenezer BP Church. Ebenezer was very far from the city. So a home Bible study was started with just three of us, my housemate, my colleague, and I. And I felt very inadequate to take the Bible study. So I prayed for God to lead a leader to us, but there was no one forthcoming. Meanwhile, the study goes on. And in 2004, there was a Singaporean student who suggested that maybe we should do a correspondent course with FEBC. So he came to Singapore, he came back to Singapore and made some inquiry. But the conclusion was that it wasn't feasible because it was pretty much a self-study then. So we dropped the idea. In 2005, a BP pastor recommended me to attend night class in Melbourne in a Bible college there. So I attended for a module of the study there. After completed one module, I came to the conclusion that it wasn't important to go to Bible college to study the Bible. Because I was quite uncomfortable with the teaching there, I thought to myself, God has given us the Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher of all. He can teach me the Bible. So from that time onward, I completely dropped the idea of going to Bible college. Meanwhile, the Bible study grew. The Lord blessed and it grew, become like a mini church. It has got its own prayer meeting and Sunday worship. And then Dr. Toh gave us a name, and we are called City Gospel Fellowship, CGF. We had a lot of university students then. And I thought that was God's calling for me. To serve in CGF, as well as to work as an architect, so that I could help to finance the ministry there. But God's way is higher than my way. The turning point of my life was actually an email that I received from my eldest sister in December 2007. The email told me that my father had an accident, but he's okay. After the accident, it was revealed that he regretted for refusing me to go to Bible college now that he's a Christian. So my sister ended the email and asked me a question. Maybe we shouldn't let father's regret continue, a question mark. And I was stunned when I read the email. God has his timing in everything. I know that I cannot go to Bible college because my father regretted now. Going to Bible college means quitting architecture. It means full-time ministry. I dare not go into it unless it is really God's will. So 2008 was a year of seeking God's will. After 10 months of seeking God's will, he finally confirmed and led me every step of the way. So here I am, studying in FEBC. In closing, I would like to share with you a story that spoke to me a lot while I was seeking God's will. It was the story of a little boy. We don't know his name, but we know that he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That was all he had for meal. If it wasn't much, if he had kept it for himself, it would only be good for a meal for himself. But he was willing to give out all and handed it over to Jesus. And in the hand of Jesus, the little that he had was multiplied to bless the 5,000. And you know, we all can be like this little boy. Because there is no life that is too insignificant when it is handed to the hand of Jesus, when we are totally surrendered to him. Our master can use anything and to bless others. How are you living your life? Are you keeping your 5 loaves and 2 fishes to yourself? Or have they been placed at the hand of Jesus? We only have one life to live. Soon it will be over. Consider your life. I hope that all of us will learn from Apostle Paul to learn to die to the world, to die to our selfish ambition, so that we can imitate him to say in Philippians chapter 3, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. May Jesus Christ be magnified, be in our life or in our death. Amen.
I'm glad our sister Su Xiang did not quit FEBC after one semester. I'm sure she found her studies at FEBC very profitable and useful. Now it's your third year, right? Second, all right. Well, she wanted to study only for 2 years, but now she wants to extend to 3 years. So praise the Lord. Please continue to pray for FEBC to train more men and women for the gospel ministry. And is the Lord calling you? We need more young men and women to serve the Lord, especially in these last days. The Lord is coming back very soon. What are you doing with your life? And if the Lord is calling you, answer that call straight away, and you will not regret. It is best to do God's will. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Let me read for you from verse 13 to verse 16. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, the very thought of thee. This hymn was written by Bernard of Clairvaux, and he lived in the 12th century, which was a time of great spiritual darkness and moral declension in society and even in the church. And it was in the midst of such a very dark day that Bernard of Clairvaux, he was a monk, a pious monk, and he wrote this hymn, Jesus, the very thought of thee. People had fallen away from the faith. They were not thinking of Jesus, or they thought of Jesus very lowly. Jesus was very far from their minds. And how he wrote this hymn to remind the people who think of Jesus all the time with all purity and holiness. And so we sing this hymn till today. Are you thinking of Jesus? Do you think of Jesus? It is very important how we think of Jesus and what we think of him. It is a matter of life and death. And today the Lord Jesus continues to ask this question. He asked his disciples 2,000 years ago, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Whom say ye that I am? Tonight, Jesus is asking you this question. Who do you think he is? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? And what is your answer? You think of him rightly and correctly, you live. You think of him wrongly, you die. It's a very important question. And I pray each one of us knows the answer. Firstly, what must we know about Jesus? There's a lesson here from the Apostle Peter. Look at his answer. Peter gave an A-plus answer over here in Matthew 16, verse 16. When Jesus asked the disciples, Whom say ye that I am? Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commended Peter for that answer. Do you know and believe in Jesus in such a way that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? We always sing the name of Jesus. We pray in his name. We call him the Christ. But do we know what that name means? Jesus, the very thought of thee. But what does Jesus mean? Do you know the meaning of the name Jesus? I'm sure many of us know the meaning of our own names, but do we know the name, the meaning of the name of Jesus? What does Jesus mean? Jesus means simply Savior, from the Hebrew Yeshua, Savior, and the Greek is Jesus. He came to save us from our sins. And that's what Matthew 1:21 tells us. The angel told Mary, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So if you did not know the name of Jesus, you know his name tonight. And don't forget the meaning of his name. His name means Savior. Is he your Savior? And Jesus is the only Savior of the world. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And then Peter says, Thou art the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Now, what does the term Christ mean? The term Christ. Really, the term Christ is not a name but a title. And it's from the Hebrew, Mashiach. And Mashiach That's where we get the word Messiah. And the Greek equivalent is Christos, which literally means the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. And when we think of Jesus as the anointed one, Jesus the Christ, what should we be thinking? In what way was Jesus the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ? In the Old Testament, we find these three offices which were anointed of the Lord. The office of the prophet, the office of the priest, the office of the king. And Jesus is the anointed one with a capital A, because he is anointed prophet, priest, and king in one person. Prophet of prophets, priest of priests, and king of kings. So when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, the very thought of thee, please don't just have romantic, sentimental ideas. When we think of Jesus, we must think of Jesus with the fullness of truth, of biblical teaching and doctrine. And doctrine saves. Think of Jesus biblically, with correct and right theology. He is the anointed one as prophet, priest, and king. So do you know Jesus as prophet, priest, and king? And in what way is Jesus the prophet, priest, and king? Jesus as prophet gave us his word. We know that the prophetic ministry was a word ministry. And Jesus came to give us his word. He himself is the word, the living word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God himself. And he came to reveal God to us. He himself is God. And when you have seen Jesus, you have seen God himself. God coming in the flesh. And so Jesus is the perfect revelation of God, not only in his being, but also in his speech, in his words. And that's why in Hebrews 11 verse 1, we are told, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So Jesus came as the Word of God to fulfill the Old Testament scriptures and then to give to us the New Testament scriptures, so that we might have God's complete and perfect Word. And we do have the complete Word today, to the last jot and tittle. And God has kept all his words intact, every single one of them. How we praise the Lord for that. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So is the scripture, forever infallible and inerrant. And when we think of Jesus as prophet, we cannot separate Jesus from his words. We cannot say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe his words. I believe in Jesus 100%, but I don't believe his words 100%, only 99%. We cannot think of Jesus in this way or his word. They are inseparable. If we say we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must fully believe in what he says in the scriptures, every word of it. Why is this so? Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And Peter got it right when he said in John 6:68-69, when the 5,000, after they ate of the miracle bread, they all left Jesus. And then Jesus asked the disciples, "Will you also go away?" What did Peter say? "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Another A-plus answer from Peter. Yes, when we go to school, we study all kinds of subjects that help us to live our life on this earth. But which book will teach us how to live our life, not only on this earth, but in heaven? It's only this book, the Holy Scriptures. Indispensable. We cannot do without this book. And Jesus, the prophet of prophets, has given unto us all of his words that lead to eternal life. Do we believe them? Dear friends, please have a very, very high view of God's word. Never doubt it. Never criticize it. Never question it. Never deny it. The Bible says it. That settles it. And we must believe it. That's a good saying, as quoted many a time. So if we think of Jesus, and we know Jesus as the prophet, then we must have the highest view of his words. The words that are inspired and preserved, which we have in our hands today. Secondly, Jesus is our priest. And as our priest, what did Jesus do for us? As our priest, Jesus is our mediator. And not only our mediator, but also our sacrifice. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we are told, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Now we know in the Old Testament, the high priest was the one appointed to represent the people. And the high priest from the line of Aaron every year had to enter into the Holy of Holies to present a sacrifice for the nation of Israel, to atone for their sins. But before the high priest can enter into the Holy of Holies, he himself must offer a blood offering, a blood sacrifice, to atone for his own sins, for he was not sinless. He was equally sinful. And then after that, could he represent the people to offer their sacrifice unto God? But here we have Jesus, who is far superior to the Old Testament priesthood, for he was sinless. The sinless Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, without spot and blemish. And he was far superior than any human priest, because he was fully God and fully man, 100% God and 100% man in one person. And so Jesus was unique, no one like him. Yes, as God he represented deity, but as man he also represented us in his perfect humanity. And that's why he could be our mediator, the only mediator, no one like him. And then as our great high priest, now take note that in the Old Testament, the high priest had to offer a sacrifice for himself. But Jesus, look at how superior he is. Because he himself was not only our great high priest, our most high priest, he himself was our perfect sacrifice. The Lamb without spot and blemish. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and he was sacrificed, crucified on the cross for you and for me. And that's what we remembered on Good Friday, didn't we? Good Friday is good because of what Jesus had done for us as our substitute, bearing our sins on the cross, shedding his precious blood. And Good Friday is good also because of Easter Sunday, of today, Resurrection Sunday, for Jesus rose from the dead. No high priest in the Old Testament could ever do that. Only this great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. He was raised from the dead, and he is now sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you and for me. And the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin, but only this blood that was shed, the blood of the Lord Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Jesus, as priest of priests, was not only our great high priest, our mediator, he was our sacrifice himself. So what should we do if Jesus is our great high priest and he has suffered tremendously on earth? He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And as our priest, when we think of Jesus, how do you think of him? Well, Jesus tells us, now if you think of me as priest, then come boldly, come confidently to me. And I can save you from your sins. I can forgive you of your sins, wash away all your sins, and even give you the grace to help in time of need. And that's what we read in Hebrews chapter 4, 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And if you have sinned against God, you can find salvation in this great high priest. And please don't say that God cannot forgive me of my sins. My sins are too many or too great. No. God can forgive you of all your sins. As sin abounds, grace did much more abound. And so, when you think of Jesus, Jesus the very thought of thee, and you think of Jesus as your great high priest, then always, always go to him, confess your sins, pray to him and seek his forgiveness and seek his grace or his strength to live a victorious Christian life here on earth, and he will help you. He will give you the strength. And then finally, Jesus is our King, and as King, Jesus is Lord over us, Lord of our lives. And Jesus was born as King of the Jews. This was in fulfillment of God's promise to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 and 13. And that was what Jesus said to Pilate as well. Thou sayest that I am king? To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. John 18:37. Yes, Jesus is King, and now sitting on his throne on high. But before he was exalted to such a position, he had to suffer for us. He had to wear the crown of thorns. It was the cross first, before the crown. And the suffering servant has now become the all-conquering King. Philippians 2, 8 to 11 tells us, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is resurrected, he is ascended, and he's coming back again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are we ready? Are we ready to meet our King? And is Jesus King in our lives? Does he have full control? Are we totally submissive and obedient to him? When we think of Jesus, Jesus, the very thought of thee, and we think of him as our King, then let us obey his every commandment. So let us think of Jesus. Jesus, the very thought of thee. He is our Savior. He is our prophet, priest, and king. And as prophet, he said he would come. And as priest, he came. He came as our priest, who died for us on the cross and to be raised from the dead. And now, as king, he tells us, I am coming back again. And from the signs of the times, we can see that his coming is very soon. I believe the Lord is coming back very soon. And we are not children of darkness, but of light. And we can tell the signs of the times in the light of Scripture. Are we ready to receive our prophet, priest, and king when he comes? How to be ready? When you think of Jesus and you think of him as a prophet, then let us believe. If you believe Jesus as the prophet, then believe in his word. And obey his words. All of it. If you believe that he is your priest, then don't forget to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Do you pray to the Lord Jesus? Do you read your Bible? Do you pray to him every day? We must think of Jesus every day. And if we think of Jesus every day, and he is your prophet, then you read your scriptures. Read the Bible every day. If you see him as your priest, don't forget to pray to him. And if you say, he is your king, then make sure you yield your life to him and obey his word in your life, that you may grow more and more like Christ each and every passing day until Jesus comes back. When he returns, you will not be ashamed, and the Lord will be smiling on us. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have always been thinking of me and thinking of me in the right way. And you have lived your life rightly. Welcome into my kingdom. Do you have such faith? And if you have genuine faith, you must demonstrate it by your works. For faith without works is dead. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that Jesus is our prophet, our priest, and our king. Our great and wonderful Savior, our all-complete Savior, we thank thee, O Lord, that he can be trusted through and through. Please help us to think of him rightly and to live our lives in accordance to his word. So, Lord, lead us home, lead us safely home, and we long for the day when we will see Jesus, our prophet, priest, and king, face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.